Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
Bibles with you this morning. We want to ask you to turn with us to the Gospel of John. Once again, the first chapter of John, chapter 1. We arrive this morning at a narrative, an account of a story that occurred that John relates to us having completed his prologue, as it's been called, having no doubt, I hope, arrested your attention and mine the way that he began his gospel with a striking thought, with eloquent words, when he starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and he goes on from there to describe for us more about Jesus. And having arrested our attention and brought us to this place, John then moves into an account of a time when the Jews sent men, priests and Levites specifically, to come and to question John the Baptist and to ask him who he was. To ask him what he was preaching, to ask him what authority and that he presumed to be preaching among. To simply ask him again who he was. His preaching had caused such a stir in Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas that the Pharisees thought to themselves that it was time for them to get involved, because after all, they were the ones that were to control the religious thought of the day, not some upstart man out in the wilderness preaching repentance to Jews. And so they send men to question him. And they ask him multiple times, "Who are you?" And John is going to answer the question, but they don't hear it. They don't hear his answer. And there is something that is alarming to me today, and that is that men think they have the right questions, and even if they do, they ask questions that they do not want to hear the answer to. Not really. We have questions in our life. Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there such tragedy in life? Why do we see these things? And if there is a God in heaven, then why do these things happen? And men, in our arrogance and in our ignorance, we ask these questions, but we really don't want to hear the answer. We already have an answer in our mind, and we're waiting to hear the answer that we have, rather than hear the answer that God has. So who was John the Baptist? This is a question, a theological debate that has been ongoing since John's life and death. If you'll give me your attention today, I think you will find that these things have a dramatic and inestimable value to you and to me. Who was John the Baptist? What was his role? What did he do in his life? Why was he important? What did he say? What did he teach? What did he preach? Why was he a man of such power and such influence? Beginning in verse 19, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Pausing just briefly, may it not be said then that John did not answer the question, because he just did. But he goes on, now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they ask him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" Do you notice the change in the question? He answered their question and they moved to a different one, not acknowledging the answer that he gave. "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ and you're not Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across Jordan, where John was baptizing. So these priests and Levites come to John the Baptist to question him, and specifically their first question is, "Who are you?" The first two questions, "Who are you?" And John, knowing the intention, in fact, in the other Gospels, we already get the sense that people had begun to think that maybe John the Baptist was indeed the Messiah himself. People began to think maybe he is the Anointed One, and we can then only imagine the power and the strength of which John came and his preaching. The influence that he must have had upon people for them to say, could this be, is this the Messiah? Is this the Christ we have been waiting on? Is this the one that was to bring and is to bring healing to Israel? John categorically, immediately, and without hesitation denies that. Says, "I am not the one who will be the one you are looking for. I am not the one upon whom God will impart the iniquity of the sin of the whole world. I am not the one who will heal the lame, restore sight to the blind, or raise the dead. I am not the Redeemer who Job so long ago wrote of and said, 'I know that he lives.' I am not him. I am not the Anointed One. I am not the Christ. I am not the seed of Eve, of whom we were told by God would bruise and conquer the enemy of man's soul, Satan himself. I'm not him. I'm not him. So if you're looking to me," almost we can think of John's answer, "if you're looking to me to be these things, you're wrong. You're in the wrong place. I am not him." And John the Baptist was not the Christ, and you know what? Neither am I, neither are you, and neither is any man who stands in a pulpit today. None of us are the one. There is a lot of preaching going on in the world, and that is a good thing, but there is one about whom true preaching always points, and that is to this same one that John the Baptist was denying that he was, and instead was pointing people to. There is, and there has always been, and will always be, only one about whom these things can be said, and that is Christ Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Redeemer and Rescuer of Israel. This one about whom John was testifying, he was pointing people to him, pointing people to the true Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, are you looking to Jesus as your Savior, or are you looking to someone or something else? I assure you, no matter how gifted or how talented or how incredible their ability to speak, no matter how high their intelligence, they will be insufficient to the task of giving you the peace that you're looking for. There's only one who can do that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And this same theme is being placed here again, repeated again, this idea of there being one. And John the Baptist denies, strongly denies, that he was this one. He says, but there is one that is coming, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But as we pause here and just think for a minute, there's too many times, I think, that people look to a preacher for their confidence in their salvation. Look to a preacher for their confidence in their Christianity, for their convincing of their Christianity. And I'm telling you today, that will not be sufficient for you. There is one who is sufficient for that kind of confidence, that kind of eternal confidence, and that is Jesus Christ. It's no preacher. It's no one who is proclaiming. It wasn't even John the Baptist. And he categorically again, strongly worded, I am not him. I'm not the one that you need to be looking to. The remedy that I could give you would be temporary at best. And that is the remedy that any man can give you. It will be temporary at best, unless it's Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll be captivated again by their intelligence and their ability to speak and their popularity in our present day culture, but the pain will return. Maybe someone has been able to distract you. Maybe you've been distracted by someone. Maybe you've been entertained or flattered or amazed at someone, but they will not bring the healing to your soul that only Christ can. John knew this, and that is why I believe he so strongly denied that he was the Christ. Did you hear the wording of the scripture when he denied it again categorically and immediately and without hesitation? I am not the Christ. What a tragedy it would have been for John to lay claim to being the Messiah. And he was a man, and no doubt in his humanity there was temptation there. He could have gathered a following after him, the likes of which the world had never seen to that point. But he denies it. I am not him. But his preaching was such that people wondered again if he might be the very Christ. But as powerful as his preaching was, as impactful as listening to him might have been, he was not the one who alone has the power to bring man's soul from darkness to light and death to life. And so he points people to this one. There's no fear of you confusing me with Christ. A mere moment in my presence would make it very clear and abundantly clear to you that I am a fallen man with weakness and failures, and perhaps in some small, weak way trying and striving to be godly, but in no way God. But to you I say with John, you do not need me. You must not look to me. You must look to, and you are in need of Christ, Jesus, the Lord. You do not need my strength. You do not need the strength of the one you need the strength instead of the one who has set the mountains in their place and formed the sun and told it to shine and tells the rivers to flow and the valleys to be brought low and the sea to come only so far and stop there. This is the one whose help you need. Because your need is such that without someone of that kind of power, there is no hope for you to be delivered into heaven. You instead will be delivered to a hell created for Satan and his angels. But without coming to Christ in repentance and faith and being changed, that is where you will be. The burden of the Christian life is great. The burden of preaching, the ministering the Word of God can send a man to the very end of himself and the point where he is weary to the core of his being. And John the Baptist must himself felt at times just crushed by the weight of the burden of the calling on his life from God. But he knew, as I do, and I pray you do, he knew that it was not his strength that was needed. It was the strength of this one to whom he was pointing. Jesus Christ, the Lord. As I thought of this, I was reminded of the psalmist in Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Men need to find their shelter in this Almighty One. You need to find your shelter in this Almighty One. This one to whom John was pointing. May we turn from every other source of strength and find our strength and confidence alone in Christ. I've known a number of people in my life, and while I cannot look down into the heart of anyone to know with complete ability what is there, God alone sees the heart. I can see fruit, and we are commanded to judge fruit and to offer warning where we see none. And yet at the same time, I cannot look down into their heart, but I have known many people who possess a kind of Christianity that seems to rest in the strength of the church that they're a member of. Or the minister of their church, or their denomination, and their strength is in that, their confidence is in their cultural Christianity. But that's not where the strength is to be found. The strength is to be found in Christ. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to examine your heart as I do. I beg that God and the Holy Spirit would cause you to wrestle with this question as I ask it. The moment that you open your eyes in eternity, whose strength will you have trusted in this life to see you safely into the next? The moment that these mortal eyes are closed forever and those eyes, whatever that they will be in eternity, open, and what are those eyes going to be resting upon? Eternal joy and forgiveness and redemption in Christ in heaven, or eternal destruction in a hell because you refused to come to Him? Where will you be when that moment finds you? Whose strength will you have trusted? Yours, or perhaps the perceived strength of someone that this lost and terribly confused culture puts before you as being strong? Or even the perceived strength of some other Christian? Upon whom is the strength of your faith based? Where and in what does your faith rest? Is it in the power of God? Or is it in something else? Is it in your good deeds or the good deeds of others, or your identification with some cultural Christianity or some church, whether it be sound or not?
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.